for the board what you might think about that.
I'm fairly certain that was done.
Okay, so then the board secretary was aware before the first original planning board meeting that the list was not complete?
The applicant got a list with 11 names. We've discussed that was an unfortunate error.
Right.
They submitted a list to the board secretary with 11 names, with 11 white certifieds, but presumably then 11 green cards. Sometimes the green cards don't come back.
So you agree that the board secretary knew before the...
No, I don't think she knew. I mean, to charge the board secretary with the knowledge of drawing a 200-foot circle and picking that up, she just relies on the same list as the tax assessor and just makes sure. Now, if a list was submitted to her with 33 names and only 11 white slips came back, yes, I agree. But
well, she would have
the point was the list only had 11.
She would have received the green certified mails by noon, and there was only 11 green certified mails by noon of the day of the planning board.
And which is the same number was on the list. The problem was the initial list didn't have 33 names.
It
was 11.
Right here are the green certified mails, and there's only 11 of them.
The list was only 11.
Right.
And that's what came in.
That's it.
Right. But I'm saying, knowledgeably, most people know that area, know what's in 200 feet of the mall, know that there are houses there, know that there are residents that live there.
Sir, but everyone has their role, you know. You're suggesting that a light bulb should have gone off, and she should have known that.
I think you know the point I'm trying to make. Okay,
we understand.
I do.
Without saying it, okay? People know the neighborhood, so that's the point I want to make. That's what I wanted to say. So I'll leave the mic now open.
I know, but I'm going to defend her. That's not her job.
I know. I just want to leave the mic open to somebody else.
My name is Stephanie Dillon. I live at 604A North Victoria Avenue. I possibly am not within the 200 feet, but it still affects me. If you, sir, have been up on Little Rock and you say you've been there and you know what it looks like from your angle, you have to know there's more than 11 houses. So when 11 certified letters came back, shouldn't somebody have said more people live there?
So I was not
maybe
at that
I'm
hearing
not
that
included.
Night. I was not.
But somebody should have caught that. And again, maybe I'm not
right.
Who
we've admitted
letter.
There was
however,
error.
Had my neighbors gotten it, I still would have been informed to come to that meeting. And a lot does affect us, and we would like this to be a formal meeting, start over, and to just be heard formally before anything else continues.
You're testifying on the record right now. There would be nothing
but you're
different.
You're saying stuff is set in stone. We want it to go backwards where things may not be set in stone. Because
so
again,
let me explain this.
Summertime, let me say one thing.
Go ahead, you speak.
Summertime. Our street is used as the come in and go out, and even all year long, but summer is the traffic. So now, it's bad enough our kids can't play in the street.
What street? I'm sorry.
Victoria Avenue,
right.
600 block of North Victoria Avenue. They want to avoid the rest of Wellington, and they want to avoid Dorset. They use our street. Speed, all kinds of drivers, it's crazy. Our children can't ride their bikes, they can't do anything in the street. So now, aside from having all that traffic up our street coming and going in the summer, now they're going to have it behind their houses. But that traffic now will continue to use our street. So now you're doubling the traffic up our street where our children, our grandchildren and children are. They already can't play in the street. Now it's just going to be worse. Are we going to be safe on our sidewalks? There's a brewery, there's liquor. Are they going to be drunk drivers? Now, I do live on the other side, so my complaint isn't as bad, except I don't want those trees that are going to grow 20 feet because you're just blocking everything that we have our little view of seeing. But again, you're going to double that traffic. They're going to come from the plaza and turn right up our street to avoid Wellington and to avoid Dorset. So you're just doubling our traffic. And even if it's one way up Little Rock, they're still going to use our street to either enter or exit that plaza.
Wait.
So That's all I have to say for now. I really would like you guys to send out the new letters so we, the public, can be heard, and...
I don't understand. You're being heard right now.
You called this an informal meeting.
I did.
You called it an informal meeting.
I did.
Nothing that ever goes on this board meeting is called informal.
We have informal meetings...
It's an insult to us.
We have informal meetings all the time. We meet with applicants all the time, informally.
I would agree that your back roads are used as a side path for Wellington, for Dorset Avenue. So this whole traffic pattern is going to be new to the police department, and the traffic pattern is just going to be more, I can make sure that the traffic safety officers that we have are looking out for those types of incidents, especially in the summer. Summertime, we grow to it. We triple in size.
Exactly.
Everybody.
We know. We see them coming and going.
And everybody that lives on the island, myself included, almost got flipped out in front of my house when people use my one-way street for 2 months. So that's part of the nature of all of our streets. But I will say that we will look at having police officers more apparent as these traffic patterns get used.
And will we be involved in that? Will it be done after work hours? Because I could not make your meeting. A lot of us work full-time. And
I think the debate between what's formal and informal is...
Maybe you could clarify that.
Well, I know it's only a sign, but...
Well, you bring up a good point. I think you're right. If it's in nature, people are going to make that left.
The only way to do it is a one-way street.
It's
a one-way street.
Maybe if a sign, you know, local traffic...
Make it one-way.
I know.
This is...
It's
a planning board, but it's unfortunately, it's tied to...
To alleviate some of that traffic on Victoria. And quite honestly, I don't think Victoria has used as much as some of the streets further down because Victoria is only one block long.
No, they drive to the field. It's 2 blocks long, and they go down to the field. They hardly stop at that stop sign, whether they're turning toward VFW or 7th Street. They hardly stop at that stop sign.
I know Victoria is very,
I know, you
is
said
very
you
important
live
to you in there, but we want to get back to what the original tenet of the meeting was. But thank you
but
for
this
your...
this is all part of it.
I know it's all part of it.
And it's all part of our lives on a daily basis.
I understand that perfectly, and I think we talked about that.
I don't think you really have, and you're making light of it.
No, ma'am. I used to live in the neighborhood, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So, yes.
I think you, being firsthand, living in the neighborhood...
Talking to the mic.
They can't hear you back there. I think with the neighbors working with the police...
We still can't hear you.
Then come up here.
Now we can hear you.
I think the neighbors working with the police will be able to come up with some kind of a solution because you have firsthand knowledge, whereas the police have it secondhand. So you can work with them to get something to work out to your benefit, I think.
Well, that would be a start.
I just think working together, just
like these gentlemen are trying to work with the neighborhood,
the other
may
issue
help.
Would be criminal activity. I'm outside all night long, all day long, well, after work, but basically all hours of the night. I have stopped criminals. I have caught, there's a police record this summer where I've caught somebody breaking into our cars. There are shady people up our street all night long. Now you want to put up trees that are, again, going to block our vision. So I would love to be part of that with the police and address these issues with that paper street.
And I also think if you get a group of your neighbors together as instead of individual and presented to the police as a group, they'll listen
again
better.
Most of us work, we need that to be after 5 p.m. It's got to be,
you can set that up, right?
We have responsibility to our jobs. I could not be at that meeting.
I gotta get this
so
back on track.
I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comments.
Yes.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for being here. But my name is Adam Malatino. I live at 609B North Victoria Ave. my backyard is facing that new entrance that's going to be putting there. But first and foremost, I think what Mr. Greco is doing with that, with the plaza, is a hell of a thing you're doing. I believe it's going to bring a ton of economic growth to this community. And first and foremost, you talked about Margate and everybody going to Margate. Hopefully some of them restaurants are opening, some of them kids go over there and start working in the summertime. So hopefully spur economic growth and create more jobs too. But like I said, my backyard will be facing that entrance, and that is a major concern of mine because I'm looking to start a family. My wife, hopefully she'll be pregnant in the next few years. I have to worry about a drunk driver coming out, and I understand they're going to have restaurants there, multiple restaurants. Burger King's a 24-hour place. Atlantic City serves alcohol 24 hours a day. So I got to worry about a drunk driver getting a burger, coming to my house, driving that entrance in the middle of summertime, going right through that stop sign, going through my back door because he's drunk, coming home at night. That's my major concern. And I know, Mr. Landgraf, you said that entrance, that street was there when they used, was basically to entice a buyer to purchase this property. Now, Mr. Greco, it seems to me, I'm not around on any litigation, but we're asking, we just don't want that street there. I believe everybody on my street on Victoria Ave, we don't want that there because first and foremost, now, like Mr. Mello was saying, now you're bringing more trucks. You're opening restaurants, four restaurants, that includes multiple different food service companies. Then food service companies in the middle of summertime deliver 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's multiple different restaurants, multiple different people, and they all won't use the same food service company. So now every morning in my backyard on that stop sign, I have to hear hydraulics go off every morning. That's an issue for me. And secondly, now you have a 45,000-pound truck in my backyard rumbling my grounds five times every morning because they all get serviced throughout every day in the summertime. And you all know that because you see for the rest of the restaurants in the summertime to hold up traffic. That's why all of them, food service companies, deliver early in the morning. I work for a food service company. I know the routing for it. So that is my gripe I have. And I believe what we really wanted, though, was a certified letter, which I think Bobby was hitting at. And I think we just want our input. And I know, Mr. Landgraf, that the road, you're saying it's a done deal. But for us, there's health issues there. There's a lot of issues and concerns we have. And that's really, really we don't want is that road because it stirs a lot of trouble for us. Right. And I don't want to come home to a drunk driver going through my back door. And I think you can understand that, too, because I've read that you had a drunk driver incident happen in your family where I believe you said, Mr. Greco, something happened. And I don't want to see that happen. I'm looking to avert this. But also up that street, it's a two-way street right in my intersection. So it's still going to cause a lot of traffic because everybody that's going to Longport, Margate, and Ventnor, that's the first entrance. Even though they're saying it's a secondary entrance, it's the first entrance for everybody coming out. So where it sits now, I understand that the inlet, I have never seen an accident there, and I believe 20% of all accidents that happen in the parking lot. 15% happen in the hotel. 35% of all accidents happening in this country or potentially can happen in my backyard by a percentage. But that's all my gripe, that's my concern. I appreciate your time. Have a happy new year. I look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Roy Hoekstra. I'm at 603A North Victoria Avenue. I would echo the fact that for me at least the problem is changing the use of that road that goes behind our houses. And really I have a question, I think, more than anything else. When was the change of use of that road approved?
So I don't know that there's a road. You don't change the use of a road.
Why did you approve paving the road? And I mean, it's not. It's a road on paper. The road goes 100
feet.
Correct. And now you're. So that's been vacant lot on paper. So at what point did you approve changing that to being a road?
In 2019, as part of the redevelopment plan. I have a problem talking to Mike too, so I apologize.
And was notice given for that redevelopment plan?
So as part of a redevelopment plan, that is a citywide notice. It's not required. It's not done to mail something to everybody in the city. What happens is notice goes out in the newspaper. It's on our website. It's on our social media pages. We talked about it probably for about 4 to 6 months going through that process in 2019.
So I remember discussions about a redevelopment plan, but I don't ever remember a meeting where it was called. And there's something about the fact that you're redeveloping a property that directly abuts mine and not notifying me that you're...
So we're not redeveloping the road. The road is there.
Well, you're changing the use of the road. It has never been a road, ever.
By definition, it is. So
I understand that.
We are using it for use. It is being improved is what's happening.
I got it. So you changed the use of that road that goes... that abuts my property without providing any specific notice of that change. Is that true?
We followed what the law requires us to do.
Okay.
No, you didn't.
I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the answer to that question, but it just strikes me that you're changing the property that abuts me that's been that way for 40, 50 years, and you know it's being done as part of a plan that we weren't notified of. And then the second issue really again gets to the notification to the application. So my understanding is that what he was applying for was a variance for the sign. Is that what the notification was sent for back in November?
Site plan approval and the variances related to signage.
So the site plan approval, was that an issue? Because it had already, the redevelopment plan was already approved?
Was it an issue?
Why are you approving on the site plan if the redevelopment plan had already been approved?
Roger might be able to explain what the difference between
compliance with the redevelopment plan.
Right.
That it complies with the site plan ordinance and the redevelopment plan.
And there was a variance that was given to him?
A couple variances related to signage. Right.
And I was not notified of that.
We understand that. I mean, yes.
Well,
are you within 200
feet? I bought the property, yes. I'm within 0 feet of the property. So I have a fundamental problem with that. I feel that my rights have been significantly impinged upon, and I will definitely have to talk to somebody about it. I know, and I will have to talk. So I'm not a lawyer. I don't know these things, but it seems to me you're making changes to the property that abuts mine, and you didn't let anybody know.
It's a dedicated street. It's always been since 1933.
And it's been grassy for how long?
It's a dedicated street.
Do I understand that?
There's utilities in it.
So, without notice?
It's a street.
Well, it's a city street.
It's a city street.
Electric,
it's a city
cable,
street.
Telephone,
so you,
water,
sewer.
Well, let's tell them that.
Okay. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I think you're changing the use of that property, whether it's a city street or not.
There's
absolutely a change. I'm sorry, you're going to have cars going down my street. That's a change of use.
Pardon me 1 second, please. We're not going to have discussions back and forth and arguments and so on. Make your statements. What I did find out, and Roger, could you please explain? What is in the street? And
there's
how long
existing public utilities. There's electric, there's cable, there's telephone, there's water, there's sewer. It's a public right of way. It's a street.
But
let me speak a little louder so you can hear me. I'm sorry. There's overhead electric, there's cable, there's telephone, there's water, and there's sewer.
Right.
It's still in the public right of way.
Yeah, it's
the street.
That's a public right of way. Absolutely. I'm not saying anything about that. I think the big concern is that we found out from a reporter that our backyards were being changed from approvals that we weren't notified of, including the redevelopment plan, which redeveloped a property that abuts ours. And I have great concerns about, you know, the process that was followed. That's my comment.
Well, the reporter brought you his opinion.
We probably should I say something?
Hello, my name is Chris Castano. I live at 605 I, Victoria Avenue. I want to deal with a lot of things that people said. The gentleman right there about the trucks coming through down Little Rock. I also live right there. I don't approve of that. A lot of the other people talking about the not getting the letter. I finally got one letter about 2 weeks ago, certified green for this meeting.
Right.
I did not get anything else since 2019. Just want to make that clear. What is the Little Rock Road? Is that a residential road? Is that what it's zoned at?
No.
What is it zoned as?
There's no zoning for roads.
No zoning as roads.
Road
so, by you, that road just is supposed to go all the way back to the flood station, is that correct? What was the intention of the road? Does anybody know?
On the tax map, it runs all the way through the bay to Little Rock Avenue over on the island.
Okay.
The tax maps show the right-of-ways going all the way through.
All right, so if you're changing it for the purpose of turning into the shopping center, isn't that changing the road then?
No.
Roads are streets. They convey traffic. Whether it's trucks, cars, whatever, they convey traffic.
But you're creating new intersections?
No.
The intersection's already there.
No, we're going straight down Little Rock.
We're not going all the way to Fulton. It is not.
No, but you're coming in and you're turning into the shopping center.
Correct.
So you created an intersection right there.
It's a driveway entrance.
You want to call it a driveway entrance. Okay. Now, I do have a couple other questions. Excuse me, I'm looking at my notes. I have a couple questions for you. In your drawing, if for some reason we can't spot the road, you put in a guardrail in. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, that guardrail, if I'm looking at this correct, is 30 feet. Just right here to you, 30 feet. Can you see that?
Okay.
Okay. Now, this road, all the way down Little Rock, that goes along all our houses, is over 450 feet. Based on 50 feet, a bunch of these different measurements. Okay, so we have a truck coming down, different trucks, that could potentially drive into our backyard, but you gave us a 30-foot guardrail for safety. I'm talking about safety here.
Right.
You gave us a 30-foot guardrail when we have 450 feet of possible backyards. I don't think that, in my case, I don't think that's fair. Do you see this? I'm asking you. Look, here. Maybe you can't see.
How much pavement?
I'm blind. Here's a 30-foot guardrail right there.
You should be addressing the paper.
Okay?
Pardon me. Hold on, sir.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Can you guys?
You're addressing.
I'm sorry.
Here.
But I have a question for him.
You can have the discussion with him and address him. But
I'm sorry.
This way, please.
So if you guys, can you see this as well?
Yes, we can.
Do you have this drawing already?
Yes. We can see it.
We can see it.
But do you have this drawing?
I don't have it in front of me.
So we have houses that go all the way long here. A 30-foot guardrail that's right here only is not going to protect our yards from a truck or anybody driving into our yards. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I'm asking you guys, over here.
Yes.
What don't you understand? A car driving with into our backyards without a guardrail?
Cars are going parallel.
Yeah, but
I think the intent of the guardrail is to stop the traffic.
Yeah, but what happens if a truck is driving down this road and loses control? I'm just saying, we're looking at the safety of our kids in our own backyard.
And the light at the corner, I mean, so you're not going at any speed.
What you're saying is no speed, but I live on a busy road right now in another town, and cars and trucks speed down that road all the time. And they lose control and they end up on people's front yards.
How long is that car?
So in this particular case, they're falling into our backyard.
No, it's not 400.
So I don't agree with the guardrail. I appreciate you putting in the guardrail.
Sir.
Well, it's just, I just talked to Commissioner.
Let's make your comment, please.
Jay, I might have a suggestion.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Lance.
It will be a public, a city right-of-way, a city street. So I see Ed sitting out there. We're going to look into extending that guardrail down that side as a city protection for that.
Okay, thank you.
You make some valid points. I don't agree that a tractor trailer is going to come off of there, but we can do something. I don't know what style guardrail Mark had proposed, but we'll look at something that we can do something along there.
I also have a question. Excuse me. I also have a question about the trees. I don't want any trees, but if we are going to put trees there, who's going to maintain them? Because since I bought the property back in 2019, I had
everything growing into the backyard of my yard. I called the township for months. They said there was COVID. They didn't have enough staff. They finally came out and cleared it. I take care of my own property behind my house. I have a gate. I go back there and I mow it because stuff grows. So now if he's going to come in and clear that whole area right there, who's going to maintain it afterwards?
So it's a city right-of-way. The city will.
So the city, is what I was told, will not come up to 4 feet to our fences. They won't come that close.
Well, because the right-of-way stops there.
Okay, so who is going to maintain that still?
From my understanding, those improvements will be within the city's right-of-way.
So what does that mean? Are you going to clean it up? So make it look nice?
So I don't know how far back some of the residents wanted us to clear that whole right-of-way back there. I don't know that we've agreed to that yet, but that's something that we're happy to meet with the residents on that street and see what you guys are looking for back there.
All right. Where
are
we at?
No traffic at all.
We don't have any traffic. That is 100% true. And I understand that you guys own the property there.
Right.
You could do what you want. Yeah, obviously, you guys say you sent out letters to 11 people, 11 families. Unfortunately, the rest of us did not get those. And we can't go back in time. So that's why we're here, and that's why I think a lot of the residents are unhappy right now, because you guys unfortunately dropped the ball, and we didn't hear about this before our reporter came. Now, I haven't got a chance to look at this drawing until today, and I do appreciate a lot of the things that you are changing, trying to get things across. But is there any way to move this truck entrance to a different location so trucks aren't going down that road? I mean, I could deal with regular cars, but I don't want to deal with 18-wheelers coming down that road. Is there any other solution that we can come up with so they're not coming down this road? Because I know that, where's Freddie? I know he talked about the vibrations, and the vibrations will affect our homes over time. I mean, can we figure out a solution that trucks don't drive down Little Rock?
I can't answer to that. Why can't that? Why does that not stay? That's what we want. We want that entrance to stay. It hasn't been an accident there in how many years? 40 years? And now, if you're saying it's a public concern.
They can't yell like this.
Wait, stop. All right. Buddy, stop. We're going to have one person speak at a time. They'll come forward and they'll address. When one person's got the mic, he has the floor, we listen to him. The next person comes up, we listen to them.
Thank you. My question is, can we come up with another solution for trucks not coming down that road? Because as a resident living right there, I would be okay with cars. I don't want 18-wheelers. I don't want trash trucks.
One at a time.
The thing is, guys, we're not going to be able to change that becoming a road. It's going to become a road. It's already far enough along that they're not going to change their minds. They're not. So we have to come up with a solution that fits all of our needs and helps us stay where we want, helps you guys, it helps you as well. So can we look at some other avenues for these trucks? Because we didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about this before because we weren't notified properly.
I think it can be visited and can be talked about. We want to hear from everybody yet. So yes, we will take your comments under advisement, sir, and get back to you. That would be the best thing to do. Rather than go off the cuff and say things we don't know about or make promises we can't fulfill.
Can we be part of those discussions? Can we form a council, a group of people that can be part of these meetings?
The meetings are open to anyone.
Yeah, and I understand that, but we're not always notified of it.
A core group of them to meet with us, look at some solutions. It wouldn't be the planning board, it would probably be the city.
That would be something Freddie was talking about, something informal, something we can have discussions with Mark and you guys, and we can maybe come to a solution without coming to these meetings and having people repeat themselves over and over and over again. I'd rather get something done and where we can get a solution figured out and not waste time.
Because
I don't know about you guys, I drove an hour and a half to be here tonight. missing my son's recital so I can be part of this meeting because I felt that this was more important.
May I make a comment?
Okay.
With that, Mike had made a comment about, and we talked about getting together with the police and so on, getting through. With that same group, the same going through, the same procedure can be followed in that, I think, could be good, and some voicing can be heard that way.
We're willing to set up that. And it probably won't be with the planning board. It'll be more with mine and Commissioner Kriebel's offices. So we'll do that. And Mr. Greco.
Right. And do it that way. And I think that would be bear more fruit for you than because the planning board is not does not handle the streets as far as it goes. So we get with the city and so on and get through and see what we can work out for you.
Right. So you guys are willing to work with us, Mark? Are you willing to work with us as well?
I'll be happy to meet today.
Yep.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, I first of all, let me say one thing.
All right, let's reach out to my office and get emails together. Probably the best place to start, and we'll set the schedule to get all the little points on both sides. Come to sit down together.
Thank you.
I think you've made a good suggestion, and I appreciate you taking the time to come down this evening out of your schedule. And miss your son's thing.
It's thank you.
And you see and the importance is there. Thank you.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. My name is Brian Geary. I live at 609A North Victoria Avenue. And I just have a couple questions and possibly some points and maybe just maybe a few requests. And the first one would be that possibly other than being re-notified that the trees that you plan on putting in, you know, because whether or not, you know, any of us have been heard by you or just kind of pat on the head and sent on our way tonight, you know, if you do plan on putting on trees, you know, possibly the type of trees that you're using are not the right trees. They grow too far in width and too high in height. And if a request that I could personally make would be like a cypress tree. They grow about 5 feet maximum width and still cover the same height, actually a little bit less. They're about 30 to 40 feet in height at full length. Instead of like a 40 to 60 foot tree high, because I think it's the Arbor V-tray that you're using, their width is about 10 to 15 feet. And with that, I know that you had said that you'd been on Little Rock Avenue. I'm not sure how recently that you had been down there, but the fence lines, all of our fence lines, they line up pretty much. I'm sorry.
Remember the water leak?
Yes. If you see that, the actual property line to our property is 3 feet further back
right.
than the fence.
We wouldn't suggest to Mr. Greco to put a wide hedgerow there. Just one row of arborvitae is not 10 feet wide. It's and you can trim it. It's
At full growth, the arborvitae is 10 to 15 feet in width.
It is,
and
but it's also trimmable. You can cut those back and you can keep
right, and that's fine. And like I said, you can put in the trees that are around. My
right.
request was just that possibly change the type of tree because the cypress is easily more maintainable by you guys.
Bald cypress.
But you're
talking about that.
My point that I wanted to make off of that is the fact that if you do plan on, you know, paving the road, there's 3 feet that belong to us still, and then there has to be a 10-foot buffer off of the property line. Does it not?
So,
no.
I don't know about buffer, but so a right-of-way is 50 feet. The road typically takes up 30 of that, so there's typically 10 feet of whatever on the other side. Typically sidewalks, we're not putting sidewalks here, but typically there is a 10-foot area that is either grass or landscaping or whatever. So,
okay, so how wide is the road planned on being paved? Because if there's supposed to be a 10-foot buffer is what I read when I was reading the property regulations, how loud is Little Rock supposed to be?
It'll be either 26 to 30 feet wide, at most. Okay. I can't see the plan right there. How wide?
It's 10 feet from the property. It's 10 feet, the curb line is 10 feet.
Right, that's what I figured, yeah.
Okay.
The city has some ability to make changes to that.
We do.
So as a focus group, I'll bring a bunch of cards up before the meeting is over. You can grab them, an email on it, you can sign up and be part of that group and put this as one of those line items that we can discuss as a group and find out what the best solution is.
Okay, because I mean, like I said, it's obviously it's out of our hands. You know, you guys stated that you approved plans years ago, which, you know, I wasn't a resident at the time, so I can't speak upon that. But for my, status as of now a resident, you know, I could see possibly the road, if you did actually plan on paving it and putting it in, you know, it being a one-way, like how it is now on the entrance, and at least you could avoid a lot of, I think, a lot of extra mess coming out of there, because there is a one-way into the parking lot, as you already know. If Little Rock was at least a one-way going up that way, you could allow us to have a little bit more of a buffer zone. I know that, you know, you had stated about the runoff and how, okay, it's going to run off into the marsh and into, you know, the other side of Wellington, but if that water is already at high tide, at tidal flooding, if that's already at high tide and it's pouring rain and it's draining down that way, even if all the properties, which maybe I read it as a contingency because it said if the residents, if they do properly grade their properties, if they properly grade them, contingent upon if I were to do that, so now I have to do that apparently. If I was to do that, say all the properties are graded, where does the water go? Where does it go back into an already elevated, it's already at high tide. You're already at the max tide. Where does that water run off to?
I defer to the applicant's engineer.
You know, if you have a tidal flooding situation where the water is so high that your runoff is in the tidal, it's going to be that way anyhow. You're never going to be able to escape that.
Right.
If you have a tidal flooding over a certain elevation,
I understand that.
It's going to be flooded. I mean, you can't push the ocean out of the way. It's going to, you can only go to that elevation.
Right, but with the road there being paved like that, there's less for absorbance already. And I know you say, oh, that's going to keep working, but pavement just pushes it off. It's there's nowhere for it to be absorbed. Possibly, you know, maybe the trees will help it. You know, that's just a possibility. But that's what I'm saying. If you made it a one way, you could actually put trees, like cypress trees that run all the way down, and behind that you could put sand, you could put a bunch of things, you know what I mean? I know you suggested to show up and give me a card and everything like that, and that's fine, and I just wanted to bring up a couple things that, you know, I've been on my mind thinking about it. I live right next to Adam at 609A, and that is like where the cars come out, and that's why my main request, if anything, would be if you are going to pave Little Rock, if you could make it a one-way just so everyone comes in and all the turning is away from the properties, just because I have a son, he's 1 year old, and it would be nice for him to feel like he could play in his backyard and feel safe.
Can I ask you a question? Do you do the landscaping for a living? Is that why you brought up cypress trees, or you just
get
your
home? Is that why I brought up cypress trees?
Yes.
Because I do landscaping?
No, I'm asking you, is that your knowledge?
I've worked in landscaping. Do I do it for a living?
It sounded like you did because you're so knowledgeable about the trade.
I do construction for a lot of properties. You know, my dad is a big in construction. I've grown up along with a lot of trade guys. Am I a professional landscaper? No.
You don't have to be. I'm just
30 to 40 feet, and the arborvitae is 40 to 60. So it's just a little bit of a difference, you know, because you still can actually have a view. Because, you know, even though we don't have the greatest of views, I know you are trying to make it a little bit nicer, you know, like when I purchased the property, you know, one of the things that sold me, even though I'm backed up to a shopping center, is the fact that you can look over, you know, to Atlantic City High School. It's beautiful right there, you know, on the marsh and on the bay. So, you know, it's just something that, like, you know, maybe not all of us are going to live here forever. You know, maybe, you know, you would like to resell your house, and, you know, that's a big selling point, you know, as far as water view for living on in Venner Heights. You know, I understand that, like I said, I'm not a professional. I just have done a couple of research on some trees that might work out. I appreciate the compliment.
Thank you for your comments, by the way.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You made some good comments, thank you.
I appreciate your guys' time.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Thanks for meeting with us. My name is Jean Latourie. I live at 517 North Victoria. I'm not on the 600 block. I'm on the corner of Fulton and North Victoria in front of the pump. They call me the pump woman because I'm always calling them about that. Anyway, the first thing I want to say, I have a few things to say, but I know I don't look like Tom Hanks, but do I present a strong Mississippi accent? In other words, when I got ready tonight for work, I didn't see Forrest Gump written on my forehead, and I don't see Forrest Gump written on anybody's forehead here. So, not to be redundant, but getting to the point about the notices, I know Bill Crowley and the whole crew that work down there, and they're very efficient, they're very sharp people, and we were told that the computer printed out these 11 addresses. Well, actually, I was told there were 33 and only 11 were returned to you, but that I can't verify. But those guys are really competent down there, and the computer only will spit out what gets inputted in. So someone input those addresses, and I find it hard to believe that those qualified people from the tax office did not list us, because they have no problem finding us to send our tax bills, to send our water bills. So I find this whole thing suspect, to say the least, but I'll leave that at that. Now, on behalf of the people on the 600 block of Little Rock and the people on the 700 block of Little Rock, I have a few points I'd like to make. Number one, this road is established, as you say, it's a city road. There's a light there, and the light was put in recently for the firehouse. Now, from my perspective and a lot of other people here, I'm having a head-scratching moment why you would want all this traffic going on and out. First of all, we all know after that disaster when we had the sewage leak that the people on Little Rock, I never had gone down their road. I went down their road and I thought to myself, wow, this is really a narrow road. There's two-way traffic. There's all these cars parked on the other side of the street. I'm shocked there isn't going to be damage to their vehicles or an accident here. It just went through my mind, and it went out of my mind because the situation was resolved and I moved on. But the people on Little Rock on the 700 block are not represented here because they're not within 200 feet, so I'm bringing that up on their behalf. They're very concerned. They say people race through that light as it is to catch the light, and their cars have been damaged. Now they're concerned there's going to be traffic going in both ways, which I think is a valid point. The second thing is there's going to be major traffic jams at this light, especially in the summertime with all the people leaving. I live on North Victoria. I go to work late at night, and sometimes on Sunday night it's a nightmare because everybody's leaving, and you're going to have all that traffic backed up. And from my perspective, I don't understand. I had asked Mr. Greco, why not leave the street that's one way and put a two-way street in there with the traffic light? Leave that light where the firehouse is for the firehouse to get out. This way there's no impact on those fire trucks. If they have to get out and you have all this traffic jam, it's going to be a logistical nightmare for your firemen trying to get out. That's something I don't know if anybody took into consideration. So if you left the street that's there as a one-way and make it a two-way with a traffic light, it would mitigate that problem. Second of all, you're putting on an adult daycare center, which I don't know exactly what type of clientele will be in there, but I'm assuming it's going to be adults that are either old, possibly senile, maybe dementia, maybe there'll be people there with disabilities. Perhaps people that are adults that are childlike, that might wander. Now, I live right in front of the dead end street. So I'm thinking, this will impact my life in ways. I'm not worried about the trucks going through my property, although if they plow right through at the end, they could go, but that's not my issue. I'm going to have problems with the noise, and it's going to be a problem with the flood litigation. I've talked to Ed about it. The road being open, they're not going to open the road, which I'm happy about that. And I know the police department is happy because they wanted that Fulton Avenue closed off. But let's get back to the adult daycare center. What if these people start to wander from the site and start walking, and now you have a road? Is it my understanding it's two ways up until where AutoZone is, correct? And then it becomes a one-way street for just the trucks. Is that correct? Okay, so now you have these trucks flying through there with all these adults at the adult daycare center. Has anyone here even stopped to think of what could happen? The liability, if one of those people happened to ride out, which people who are senile and with dementia do all the time, that's a problem. What if they ride out and get hit? That was one of my things. Now, the other thing is, I think the real elephant in the room here is this mystery restaurant. At the meeting we had with Mr. Greco, my husband brought up about there being a liquor license there. And Mr. Greco assured us that there would be no liquor license because there are only three permitted in town, and it's based on, and you can only have three, based on the 10,000 full-time residents. And my husband backed off and he said, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't realize that, and that was that. But then, like just that bit of a slap in our face, Mr. Commissioner Grable, you said there's ways around that. We can be creative. We can have a brewery or a club license. And Mr. Greco made a comment that it would be difficult to rent it out to anybody without a liquor license. So here's my suggestion. Let's not put that restaurant there at all, because that restaurant with a liquor license, first of all, it's going to create a lot of noise. You know, and I know they're probably going to have outdoor dining, just like they do at all the other establishments in town. They're going to probably have bands. There's going to be drunk drivers coming out of there. So how about this compromise if you're not going to get rid of that road? Why don't you move that restaurant down the other end? You have the building next door to the post office. That building has a 360-degree view of the Atlantic City skyline. What better place to put a restaurant with a bar than down there? And it has no impact on any residents. There's nobody living down there. You can make all the noise you want to make. You got parking. My suggestion is one restaurant between your Starbucks, which is in the middle of the property, all the way to this Little Rock Avenue. If we can't stop the Little Rock Street going in, then that's my suggestion. Let's get rid of that pad. That you're saying there'll be no problem with flooding, but that pad will be raised. And when something is raised, water runs off. Water goes to the lowest point. I worked along with Charles Sabatini, and I helped with him to put in that last pump. I'm the one that asked for the check valves. I'm the one that got him to build the barn behind there. I was actively involved. So I know a lot about flooding because I've been living there since 1991, and I've seen all the changes and what we've been through. So I am concerned about what this gentleman here said about everything running down to the back. Well, I live in the back. And I want to tell you something. October 20th of 2018, there was major flooding. Since then, I've worked with Mr. Stenson, Big Ed over here, and he helped me by making a couple changes to that pump. And we have not had one drop of water, even though the town got shut off at both ends. There was flooding everywhere. My street did not flood until last week. Now, that was after you guys have had all this work going on, and I don't know what happened. But I'm concerned. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very concerned about what's going to be in the future with these changes and how it's going to affect my property and all of Victoria Avenue. But I'm at the lowest point. So, yes, I am concerned about that. My point about the restaurant being moved, if you move it down the other end, it resolves everything. It resolves the noise, the drunks, the pad, and the flooding, and it's a perfect solution for everybody. So one more thing I want to say. Mr. Greco has 15.3 acres to work with. There is no reason why anybody has to be impacted by this. These residents don't have to be impacted. You have 15.3 acres to work with. Why on earth, after you post on your website that decisions and the mayor, I don't see the mayor, and I realize once she said she's not a working mayor, but I don't know where she is, I don't see her. But one time she said, we make these decisions, as well as the two commissioners, we make these decisions with the best interest for our residents. Now, I got to ask you, why on earth would you care whether that road, which whether you approved it in 2019, you did not develop it, and you did not choose to develop it until now. So I think it's because of that restaurant. I think you need to put that road there for the restaurant. That's my opinion. That's just my conjecture. That's what I believe. I believe if that restaurant goes down the other end, you don't need that road there. You can put the road right where it is because it won't impact the restaurant because the restaurant won't be there. So why not all of us compromise here and say, you know what? As the leaders of Ventnor, we don't want to impact these residents in a harmful way if we don't have to. And with 15.3 acres, we really have other options. That's my point of view. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to make a comment? Please.
Hi, my name is Mary Massimiano. I live on the 700 block of Little Rock. I can certainly empathize with the residents of Victoria Avenue. We've lived through the Wellington Avenue plaza development, and so we can certainly attest to the influx of trucks and refrigerated, trucks, trash hydraulics. I mean, the noise, it's endless. My question is, with the firehouse being there, with the liquor store at Wellington Avenue, and all the, the issues of their two entrances that are entrances and exits on both sides prior to the firehouse, why, like the woman said, there's so much acreage here, why can't the main entrance be put on the far side of his property where where major trucks go in now, this way it wouldn't impact any residents, so you wouldn't have to worry about the flooding, people's privacy being impeded upon. I mean, I've living abutting the property of Wellington Plaza for since they developed it. I've been there for 35 years, so it was marshland prior to that. So I really do empathize with the residents. And I just would hope that another solution could be developed that could appease everyone and not impact people's home, their livelihoods, their peace of mind. there's already, you know, the one entrance into that plaza, you know, where the old Chinese restaurant was, and most of the trucks go down that road as it is. So I don't know why we can't put a two-way, you know, light there, except if you don't want to include the county in that, maybe that's the reason why Little Rock's being chosen. But I just think there's other solutions that would not affect residents. I mean, I'm still awakened at, you know, 7:30 in the morning. It used to be 2:30, 4:30, 5:30 with delivery trucks, trash hydraulic trucks, and I've worked with the Wellington Plaza people, and they've worked with us, and we've rectified a few things. And Mr. Manos represented me for that case, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Long time ago.
Yeah, that was about 10 years ago, right? So I just don't understand why the entrance can't be on the opposite side where there's no residents at all, like in the middle of Wellington.
There is an entrance there.
I'm saying making that a two-way entrance like you're planning on doing at Little Rock.
It will be. There's entrances at both ends and one in the middle.
Right. But what I'm saying is why do you need a two-lane entrance at Little Rock that's going to impact all these residents when you have an entrance in the center of the lot, right? Then there's just that little left-handed curve. Why can't there be an official light put there so that all the major trucks and everything...
Traffic signals cannot be that close together.
Okay. So how do the trucks get into the plaza now to supply the supermarket and all the other stores?
I'd ask Mr. Greco.
They go in. I know. I see. I face that backyard all the time. So why?
If I may.
Sure.
The trucks currently enter.
Excuse me. Could you please talk in the microphone? Thank you.
So trucks currently enter from the driveway closest to Little Rock Avenue now, because behind the building of the shopping center, it's only wide enough for one-way traffic. So traffic enters from the Little Rock side of the shopping center and exits from the far side where the restaurant is toward the Dollar General direction. It is. There's only one-way traffic back there, and there are loading docks. I think there's four loading docks behind Acme, and they're angled because of the one-way traffic, and that's the only way the trucks can get in.
But I'll tell you, for there, I mean, I see this every day. My backyard faces the whole lot, so I see everything down Little Rock. Trucks continuously go down that left-sided entrance. They don't come all the way down to Little Rock to go into the shop right there, or Acme, whatever it is now. So I'm very concerned that there's a lot being jammed into Little Rock Avenue with the firehouse there, with Wellington Plaza. As one of the women had shared, when that sewer line broke, it was an absolute cluster. It was a disaster on Little Rock Avenue. It's a two-way street with parking on both sides. So needless to say, several of my husband, myself, several of our residents had our cars hit. And I just can anticipate with the advent of this project, there's going to be a lot more flow. There's going to be more traffic. So all of that considered, all that flow, when Wellington Avenue's backed up, which it gets all the time, and you know that's going to be more in the summer, people are going to just jump over and go down Little Rock to get down to the Heights. They're not even going to go down Wellington. So it's just going to bring a lot more traffic down our street, which we've had experiences. We have cracks in our house that we never had before since the advent of the firehouse being put in and since the water main break. So there's just been a lot that has to be considered as far as our little street. It's really not designed to have all this kind of traffic going down there. I just don't understand why that a two-way entrance can't be put in on the far side of his lot. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did he make comment before?
Hi, Earl Hoekstra again, 603A North Victoria Avenue. I just had a thought given what I was hearing, which I hadn't thought of before, but if we're going to take traffic out of the plaza to turn right on Little Rock to go up to the stops, or to the traffic light, that basically means all the traffic from the supermarket that's going into Ventnor, Margate, Longport is going to come out at that traffic light. And I mean, who's not going to go in the direction that they're going? So then you end up with a constant line of cars between the turn, right, and the traffic light. You're going to have cars backed up, you know, from there in front of the AutoZone. It's going to be loud, it's going to be noisy, et cetera, et cetera. So I do go back to something suggestion someone other made is right now we have really two exits from the shopping center, and I think we only need two exits from the shopping center. I would not make an exit at Little Rock. I think it's going to create all kinds of problems. I know the suggestion at one point was to make it a one-way road in, which I think would be better than a two-way road. But again, I stand firmly on the no road side of that equation. But I think that having exits out there onto Little Rock is going to be an issue.
Bad idea.
We're getting into late in the hour here, so any last comments anyone wishes to make? Yes, sir. I mean, people.
I was going to say one. Appreciate your time here, and I know all of us, we do have concerns here, and it is that one street that pretty much is the butt of everything for us. And you are right with the facilitating the traffic with the trucks. If it was one way, it solves a little bit of the issues, but you're right with the congestion and the traffic. But I'm just up there to say thank you again for your time, Mr. Greco. We all support your plans for the plaza. We all want you to renovate it, but once again, the street is our major concern for our livelihoods and our children and our everything else. But that's all I have to say. Thank you again. I apologize.
Thank you very
much. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. Okay. Lance, do you have any comments you want to make?
No. I think we got some good comments.
At this time, I think we've had a good amount of comments to take in here. So I think there's been the forerunner for a committee to be formed, which would be aside from the planning board, which we work directly with our commission for police and possibly our city engineer as well, to be involved in looking at this and come back with suggestions for all of us. So it would be a bipartisan, a joint committee of residents and our city officials as well. So that way there's a voice and there's a chance to make inroads and come up with possible decisions and resolutions. Mr. Greco, I think, may also have his comments as well in there. But as of all, I have to thank all of you. You've taken the time and you've actually, you know, you've made good comments. You've spoken what you felt. And that's the important thing that was supposed to be here tonight, was to find out from you what your feelings were and what your topics were. And we did, I think that was accomplished. So with that in mind, let us all go forward and see what resolutions we can make with this particular problem and see how it works out. But I think the feelings now, and we have to look at, there's several ideas that proposed in various levels, and we'll work on that. But there's the format for going forward with citizens and a city committee to go forward. And that, I think, is the key. And so voices will continue to be heard, and the problem will be continued to be worked on for a resolution. So with that, I thank you very much, ma'am. I would hope so. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, the committee will be done before that, yes.
Tim, you got any cards on you?
Right. So, again, I'd like to say.
You got to go down and get them? You bugging out?
All of you.
Wait here for a minute.
Thank you for being here this evening. And thank you for standing up and voicing your opinions.
And that is the thing.
Jay, why don't we take 5 minutes?
And we're going to take it. And for the board members, thank you for listening.
Take 5 minutes.
We're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to come back and for our regular meetings. Close the door out there, please. Thank you very much for your speech.
Yeah, even though you think it's...
Marcia,
huh?
Talk to you later.
You think we cheated. The fix was
okay.
There.
Okay. We're back on the record?
We are.
Okay. The next application that we have this evening is that of 111 South Swarthmore Avenue. Mr. McLeese, are you presenting?
Mr. Barnes.
You have it, okay. Mr. Barnes?
Yes, how are you?
Okay.
Thanks for being patient, everyone.
No, I'll do a preamble on this.
Tim Kriebel has a conflict, so he's recused himself. But the last application involves a deed that he can't participate in, so I believe he...
Mr. Barnes?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have Roger do a preamble, which is basically kind of eliciting what the application is about.
Absolutely.
You'll swear in your witnesses.
Okay.
And then you'll begin unfettered and go forward with everything.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay. So we'll start out. Roger, could you do your preamble first and be sworn?
I'll get you sworn. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear a firm testimony you're about to give?
I do.
This evening will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And Mike Wiesen's back also, so he's going to participate. We haven't started yet.
And let the record reflect that Commissioner Kriebel has conflicts and has recused himself and has severed and has removed himself from the board at the present time and will not be returning this evening. Okay, Roger, would you please proceed?
Yes, sir. Thank you. My report is dated December 9th, 2022 in regard to the application of Marcos and Andrea Lopez, 111 South Swarthmore Avenue, Block 41, Lot 1, seeking C variances located in the R3 Single Family Zoning District. It's also preliminary firm, the Zone AE Elevation 10. Deemed complete, it's a substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1. Continue on page 2. Also, the plans reviewed and received are on page 2 as well. The project description is as follows. The applicant proposes to construct a new three-story house where 2.5 by definition stories are permitted. The proposed structure also seeks several variances in order to get construction and zoning permits. The rooftop will feature a solar array in keeping with the city's green-friendly environmental initiative. The property is beachfront located within the R3 single-family zoning district and is subject to the latest revisions of the zoning ordinance for beachfront properties. The project meets those requirements except as outlined below. The application shall be reviewed as a flat roof structure, as that appears to be what the applicant is trying to meet. And again, talking with the applicant's architect, some revisions have been made and discussed, and I'll leave it up to him to discuss that. But the zoning chart on page 3 highlighted are the variances identified. Continue on page 4. And the variances in summary are as follows. Principal building height, whereas the flat roofs are permitted to be 31 feet above the first floor or DFE plus 1, and 33 feet plus from finished first floor DAP plus one is proposed. That's ordinance 2019-018. Parking spaces configuration, I think this has been worked out, so that variance may go away. However, whereas it's by definition in the city's code, whereas a single car garage and driveway combination counts as 1.75 spaces or two, and three are proposed, but only two are legitimate based on the configuration. I think if that's reconfigured just a little bit, modified, they can meet that, and that variance will be eliminated.